No Syntax is brought to you by caffeine-driven media, where high-octane coffee and farts warm our hearts. That makes no sense. Who wrote this shit? Hello and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode 14. Given on this day, what is today's date? Oh shit. what's today's date? Oh crap. 28 July 2019. Yeah, big flub. Okay. Welcome to episode 14. Given on this day, 28 July 2019, I am glad to be here to talk to you all about shit, reading your emails and discussing your comments and points of view. Why? Because, as always, you make this show great. Good morning, good afternoon, or evening, wherever you are. I hope everyone is doing well. It's been a long time, and we have a lot to catch up on. So where to start? How about where the hell have you been? And why the hell haven't you produced content like you said you would, you asshole? Well, I have an answer for that. I have answers for that, I guess. One has to do with technology, pretty much sucking ass. And let me explain. We had an issue with what we originally thought to be electrical. And, to be clear, the mixer we use to record the show, as I'm sure with most, if not all mixers, are sensitive to electrical power, meaning that any time an appliance draws power, it causes a popping sound in the recording. So what we do is we unplug all the appliances here in the studio pretty much in order to prevent any of that from happening, right? We are diligent when we do this. However, during the recording sessions, we were getting a number of pops and recordings, and it was just fucking driving us nuts. Excuse me, coffee. Okay. And I have to tell you that we went through everything to try and pinpoint the cause and pretty much found bupkis. This was until we began to adjust the mixer. And what we did find, we found a small cut in the DLR cable that's attached to the microphone that we use. And so it was no wonder we couldn't figure out what the fuck was going on. Because evidently the microphone was working, but the cut causing our popping issue, in over 10 different recordings, it was just driving us nuts. And so now that we discovered the problem, we not only had to replace the cable, but at the same time, we decided to replace the mic stand too. And this was because originally, we had an arm-like stand with multiple bending points of articulation, various height levels, adjustments, movements, and everything. You may have seen them on TV where they could like control the boom and bring it forward, backward, like an arm. And, what had happened was because of the multiple points of articulation and the way the cable was routed through the arm, so built in, if you will, it began to dig in. This one metal part began to dig into the mic and just totally cut the cable, causing the issues. But I will have to say, so as time went on, we went with a separate DLR cable and microphone stand. And I will have to say that I'm liking this setup a lot better than the arm. So that was the other, that was the one issue. Then we had an issue, with order processing through Amazon. And I know for sure I've bitched about them before, but it wouldn't be me if I didn't bitch them. Wow. Hold on. Coffee. Maybe my problem is I need to slow down and cut back on the caffeine. Ha, that's not going to happen. Anyway, so as I was saying, we had another issue with order processing through Amazon. And yes, I bitched about it before, but again, wouldn't be me if I didn't bitch about them again. Fuckers. Let me be clear. Amazon vendors don't always fuck up. But I have this expectation that when I'm paying for a Prime service and refine my list to only display Prime items, there should be no excuse from the vendor in getting anything on my order incorrect, okay? Lest it be customer error, and in this case, it most definitely wasn't my fucking fault. I will tell you that Amazon made it painful. So Amazon tells me when I go to place my orders, and I'm pretty prone to pick these, that I could have my item in 48 hours. Now, the mic stand came in overnight, but the cable took a week and a half. You tell me 48 hours, but then the cable took a week and a half. What the hell, Amazon? Come on. But that's not all. So I finally get the cable, and the box it came in was completely crushed. I'm talking like on one corner end, like somebody just accidentally stepped on the box. Wasn't paying attention to what the fuck they were doing, right? So again, I'm thinking, what the fuck? And I felt as though that I was screwed. As soon as I opened the box, I was just like, no, this can't be happening. You know, if it was stepped on hard enough, I mean, it looked like a boot print. And, you know, DLR cables can be delicate, right? And evidently, you know, based on my previous story with the cut in the damn cable, because the cables are relatively soft. The exterior rubber coating is really, really soft, very pliable. And so I thought I was screwed. But as it turns out, the cable was safe. Slow down, Landon. But if I had to nitpick, I would say that it was an epic failure on the vendor's part in not packing the cable properly. So the cable came loose in the box. It was basically held in a coil with Velcro tape, and they didn't even pack it in something in something else to protect it from damage. I mean, fucking asshats. So I was thinking, if you pulled the cable off the shelf or a pegboard or whatever, you'd have this cable in a plastic bag with a little cardboard thing folded in half and stapled to the plastic. Or you would have left it in that, wrapped it in bubble wrap to at least provide some additional protection. Again, my own expectations of having an Amazon Prime account. You know, and I'm sorry, if I'm coming off as an elitist douchebag, I'm not going to apologize for it. I mean, I just have expectations when I'm paying. I think initially, you know, Amazon baited me in with $99 a year, right? And then now I think I'm paying $114 a year for a service, in my opinion, that should have higher standards, right? You know, I don't know. I look at it from the perspective of, wow, my show notes just took a turn for the worst. I'm just looking at that, you know, because you pay for a service, and, you know, vendors should be held to a standard as well, especially if you are listed as a Prime vendor. You know, Amazon should hold them accountable. Now, I didn't go back and write anything yet. You know, this was weeks ago, and I've had time to say, okay, I've used it. It works fine. I think it works better. The stand is great. I like it better than the arm simply because I've got more room flexibility. The stand is just the right size, and it gives me better peripheral view of the recording desk and my screen and recordings and everything. So it's a win-win, okay? But I don't, you know, and most of the times, I don't like to pay attention to the ratings either, right? So between buying, seeing it listed as Prime, it's hard to even hold on a second. Let me. Okay, so the music was kind of messing with my thought process here. So again, not sounding like an elitist douchebag, I know I keep rewinding myself here because I don't want to get off track. I look at this from a perspective that it should be higher standards. Bottom line up front, it should be higher standards. And don't think that I don't pay attention to the ratings, okay? Because I do. But there's a challenge in that. And it's having to navigate through a wide spectrum of bullshit that people put out there. Excellent product. Okay, what is excellent about it? I need more information. The product sucks. Okay, why was it crap? Tell me more about it. And then you have some reviews in the middle that are pretty biased, but somewhat helpful. I bought these anal beads because the company said they were universal, but it turns out they're too big to fit in my butthole. I'm just being an ass, okay? I'm kidding. I don't think you can. Wait a minute. Hold on. Nope, I was wrong. It turns out you can buy anal beads on Amazon. Whoops. Okay. Funny, when you're looking for stuff like this, especially anal beads, they show frequently bought together items, but no one has written any reviews on any of these products. And that's a shame, because I really want to see what people have to say about some of these items. I mean, Jesus, people. Wow, people put that in their ass? Okay, moving on. Yeah, wow, some of these things come with a phone application. No way. Okay, now I'm moving on. All right. So that was one of the main drivers that kept us from recording and getting the show out on time. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. Another thing that just recently happened, DoorDash. I think, yeah, DoorDash. Coffee. 1 second. DoorDash. Now, this is, I'm going back and forth. This isn't in the script. I'm going off script here because DoorDash absolutely pissed me off to no fucking end on Friday. So, I decided, hungry, and was looking through the applications, saw Chick-fil-A was, on DoorDash. So decided to order, you know, a huge 30 chicken nugget type order with fries, waffle fries, you know the drill. It's Friday and you can't go wrong with Chick-fil-A. I'm so sad that they're not open on Sundays, but I get it. I know the reason why. And that's fine. But it happened to be a Friday, was really, really hungry. It was close to 8 o'clock at night. And I'm just like, I want Chick-fil-A. So go ahead and order through DoorDash app. And approximately 15 to 20 minutes later, maybe 30, the Dasher contacts me and tells me that, holy shit, the order's not there. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Got the receipt that the order went through. Looked at my bank account, got charged. So how did they not get it? Going back and forth. Oh, by the way, DoorDash, you guys are assholes. I will tell you this right now for two reasons. Number one, you want me to fill out, and I know I'm skipping all over the place. So let me go back and put this in context. You place an order on DoorDash. DoorDash processes the order. You get a receipt in your email that the order has been processed with Chick-fil-A. You go to your bank account, you see that your bank account has been charged, but waiting on final charges from the vendor. Okay, so that's understandable. So you're already sitting there waiting, assuming that your stuff is being made, a Dasher is on the way, or is already there to pick up your stuff. Well, then the Dasher calls and says, your stuff isn't here, it's not in the system. So what do you do at that time? Well, decided, hey, let me contact DoorDash customer service. When you go on the website, now, if anybody has got any additional information on this to square me away and tell me exactly what links to go to find DoorDash's customer service number, please let me know, because I could not find it anywhere on their website. Their website wants you to fill out a form, email it to them, and then expect you to wait a response for 48 fucking hours. How is that going to help me today? How is 48 hours going to help me today when there's a problem with my order that I've been charged for and didn't receive yet? I have an issue with you, DoorDash, okay? That's my number one issue, and not the biggest issue overall. My biggest issue was that the young lady, the Dasher, who was there waiting approximately 30 to 45 minutes, got pulled out of the queue for the order, and the order, as it was being redone, and I'll go back to that, was telling me that she's not going to get paid. They give it to another Dasher. I'm like, how? So they're not paying for your time? It's not your fault that you got sent there and that the order had a glitch? I mean, holy shit. So finally, couldn't find it, had to Google search the number, found the number, called, and what DoorDash said was that the Dasher would have to call a number and file not necessarily a complaint, but file a I forgot the word that he used. But basically calling them and saying, hey, on this day, I was sent to here, to Chick-fil-A, to pick up an order. This is what happened. I didn't get paid, right? Totally missed out on the tip and didn't get paid whatever DoorDash pays their Dashers. I don't know. I don't know what that amount is. Needless to say, the young lady called back and said, yeah, they're not going to pay me. That's bullshit, DoorDash. You pay for somebody's time. You know, they're driving their own personal vehicle, I'm sure, you know, and you're telling me that that person not only lost out on pay from you, but the tip. So what wound up happening is we wound up getting a hold of her. She wound up giving us her personal cell phone, wound up getting a hold of her, got a PayPal account from her husband, and went ahead and sent them a tip because we just felt so bad, right? I mean, it was total bullshit. Absolutely total bullshit, DoorDash. I mean, what the fuck? Needless to say, as much as I want Chick-fil-A and the convenience of having it delivered to my home, I'm not doing that shit anymore. Go out, drive, get it. It's a pain in the ass to park. Every Chick-fil-A. Why is Chick-fil-A like that? Every Chick-fil-A, I mean, evidently they're popular. You know, they haven't wavered from their standards. I don't think I've heard too many people complain about Chick-fil-A sucking at any point in time, but they have the worst parking ever. They're never on an acreage of land that facilitates a smooth transition of coming off a main road into the parking lot, hitting a driveway or their drive-through system. You put your employees out there like road guards directing traffic. I mean, holy shit, it's so funny. And that's not really a big complaint. I mean, I think that's just commensurate of how popular Chick-fil-A is, how good their food is, you know, and they haven't wavered from their standards like Papa John's. Papa John's, when it first came out, and I know difference between chicken and pizza, I get it, but Papa John's came out, Papa John's was awesome. Then they just went to shit. You know, it's like fresh ingredients, fresh, no, I would tell you if you still like Papa John's, fine. Every once in a while, I will get it. But in comparison to, you know, the first time that placed an order, got the banana peppers, the way it was delivered and the overall freshness and flavor of the pizza was great. Going back, DoorDash, you fucking suck. You suck, 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 suck ass. So, you know, down with DoorDash. And I don't mean down in a good way. I mean, down with DoorDash, fuckers. Okay, moving on. So before I get into everything else, I want to, our favorite librarian sent us an email. Now, going back, to the last episode, there were a few things that we discussed. So this is late. I get it. I apologize. But she did respond in deference to, the last, episode 13, talking about a few things. So give me one second. Coffee, 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 coffee. Okay. So Leslie writes, our favorite librarian. Oh my goodness, Landon Isles, your BBC story nearly killed me. Trust me, that guy would have to pay for a BJ. Probably has to pay straight up sex as well, because smelly is a turnoff. A smelly pecker? Dear God in heaven, how nasty. Remember, cleanliness is next to godliness, especially if you have a foreskin. I couldn't help but think about the fruitcake lady who used to be on Leno. Got to keep Miss Puss clean. Guys, you've got to keep Mr. Thang clean. And I'll weigh in with my personal opinion. I prefer crew neck to turtleneck when it comes to penises. That episode, I don't understand it. And to be clear, and I don't know if I articulated this in the last episode, you know, when this guy came on this show for the BBC, you look at him and, you know, relatively attractive guy who doesn't clean his foreskin. You know, that I shouldn't judge because, excuse me, I had to burp. I shouldn't judge because my God, you know, you just never know. You could look at somebody and think they are the most hygienic person in the world, and they turn out to be total garbage. Case in point, some years ago when I was in San Antonio, they did like a little get together in the office I was working in. And of course, everybody is solicited to bring, you know, food and everything, like a potluck type deal. And there was this one lady. Now, she really great person. But overall, I think appearances kind of say a lot about you in some form or fashion. And her personal appearance wasn't bad. She was a heavy set lady. But for some people, they had an issue with her in that they would not even touch her food that she brought in, because to her, to these people, assholes, they didn't really feel that though she was relatively clean, and they don't know what her living standards are, you know, and perception's a bitch. Somebody could look at you and go, well, you're well organized, you're clean, you know, hygienics, you don't smell, you don't stink. And because of that, the food that you bring is probably proper, when they could live like complete garbage in their homes, right? Or the polar opposite, somebody who, you know, vice versa, somebody who doesn't look the part, who doesn't look like they're well organized or whatever, could be the cleanest person in the world at home, you know, so who are we to judge? But yeah, so you kind of look at, you just never know. It's just unbelievable. It's bad, but yeah, I just could not imagine. You can't be nose deaf. You cannot be nose deaf to your own body. I mean, I get anal on things, right? I remember my introduction to baby wipes when I did my first deployment in Saudi Arabia. I mean, baby wipes were like gold, you know, and it was one of those things where you didn't want odoriferous emanations coming out of your butt in 125 degree heat, right? And that means toilet paper doesn't necessarily do its job to get you clean. You got to take it that extra step. So I am freaking crazy when it comes to baby wipes. I take baby wipes to work. I just don't use toilet paper because, again, I just don't want that smell emanating from me at any point, you know, and having somebody sit next to me, regardless who it is, and going, God damn, that dude stinks. No, not doing it. Anyway, she goes on to say, personal hygiene is a big topic in library land. In public libraries, you get the homeless who may have not bathed in days. In academic libraries, you get students who don't brush their teeth. One day we had Mr. I Got Lucky last night, and he needed research help. That was really painful. Athletes who don't shower after practice are also common. Let's just all be clean, please. I get it. I absolutely, positively get it. And again, I'll use myself, I'll throw myself under the bus. I drink a lot of coffee throughout the day. And, you know, as we get older, I've come to find out that it seems as though as we get older, I don't think we pay attention to it when we're young, preteen, teen. I don't think we pay attention to that much, especially guys, right? We just don't care. When you at that point where you become interested in women or, you know, men or whatever your preference is, I think at that point, that's when you really start to care. I mean, yes, your parents teach you hygiene. My grandparents totally, you know, pummeled it into my brain. And oh God. And I remember my grandparents would never really let me use toothpaste. They had a firm belief of utilizing baking soda mixed with salt. It was the most god-awful flavor you could have in your mouth, is baking soda and salt to brush your teeth. That's what they would do. So I would have to sneak toothpaste in my overnight bag and utilize that after the fact to get the baking soda taste and paste and film that it leaves in your mouth afterwards. No amount of rinsing seemed to get rid of it, man. Just really crazy. But anyway, so once you hit that point in your life as say a teenager, you know, you hit 13, 14, you start to discover yourself, you start to discover girls, boys, whatever, and you really start to pay attention to things like deodorant, like brushing your teeth, like being clean, because you want to make a good impression, right? And I was notorious about brushing my teeth before school, after school. And this is something that bled with me, you know, throughout the years. Bled? Was that a right term? Anyway, I think you know what I'm getting at. It was just so ingrained that now, even at work, I have a toothbrush and toothpaste in my desk. And so after my morning coffee, bam, brush my teeth. After lunch, bam, brush my teeth. In the middle of the afternoon, if I have another cup of coffee, brush my teeth. It is crazy. I am a total nut bar when it comes to brushing my teeth. So sometimes more than three days a week. Shit. More than three times a day, will I brush my teeth, because that's just how I am. That's just the way it is, right? You have to maintain personal hygiene. And as you get older, you really have to maintain personal hygiene, because your teeth change. Your bone structure changes. You can get pockets in your gums that retain certain elements that really, really stink. And some of you may have had this happen. Some of you may have had this happen. Some of you may not. You know, you go in, you got a pocket somewhere, and you go to, do maintenance on your teeth with, flossing, and you pull the floss out of your mouth, and all of a sudden this weird smell emanates from the dental floss and the tooth floss. God dang it. I'm screwing up today. So this odor emanates and you're just like, whoa. And if I was to smell anything like that, and the only reason why I brought that up was because somebody I worked with talked about that, and I'm like, oh God, I never paid attention to that. So that kind of put me in a mode of, okay, make sure brush, floss, and rinse multiple times, because coffee can just not only give you dragon breath, I mean, all those other elements can too. So you really have to maintain yourself a little bit more as you get older, because things just start changing. And the things that you used to wince at when you were a kid, when you saw old people with, you know, old guys with hair coming out of their ears and shit. So, you know, you kind of have to go from there. It just gets harder, you know, and then you probably reach a point where you don't give a shit. And I'm rambling right now, I know, but I just, oh God, I can't even begin. I'm not a person who gets embarrassed, but I am a little mortified of talking to somebody, and I don't want to be that guy that is labeled, hey, dragon breath is coming. Because I had an art teacher in eighth grade, junior high, that Mr. Leva, good person, great guy, but God, you didn't want to stand next to him for very long, because it was as almost he would intentionally enunciate words that, hey, how's it going? And it would just hit you in the face, like somebody just slapped you in the face with stink, and you're just like, oh my God, get me away. So you didn't talk. You wanted him to explain and just get out of there. I never want to be that guy. And I would hope that I'm not that guy. And if I was, and somebody told me, I would be absolutely mortified. But anyway, so yes, personal hygiene is an absolute, positively absolute necessity, right? You can't go wrong with it. And I'm not bullshitting you all. I mean, baby wipes are gold. Baby wipes are key, especially on deployments, you know. You gotta get a good scrub down there. The only thing that I noticed with guys, and especially worse with guys, I don't think girls experience this. I hope God, women don't experience this, but, this is an overshare, but I don't give a fuck. It wouldn't be me. So biodegradable baby wipes. Okay. Be careful with them. I think they have a date range on them. They have like a born on date or an expiration date, because what some of these baby wipes are meant to do is break down as soon as they hit water. But you have to remember, the baby wipes come wet. So there's an element of hydration there, right? So that means that from the time that they're packaged, they're starting to break down. Now, not in the literal sense where they're literal, not when they're packaged, I guess, whatever they're soaked in, or whatever liquid laden material is on them, you know, whether it's some sort of cleaning solution or whatever they used on it. I never looked it up, but it doesn't break down as much. However, I think there's a point where it does, because there have been some baby wipes where you go to wipe your ass and they already start coming apart. And they leave paper dingleberries in your butt hair. I will shit you not. I spent more time trying to make sure my butt was, because I don't want dangles. I don't want dangles on my ass. It's just a bad feeling altogether. But you go to wipe and you do an upward movement, and all of a sudden you can feel the baby wipe just start to like roll and ball and get caught. And you're like, son of a bitch. It sucks. I will tell you, it is not a great feeling. And then trying to get those things out of your ass hair is terrible. You have to pull and it hurts. Don't know if anybody's had or experienced that problem. If you have, you're probably keeping it to yourself. Again, I like to overshare. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? listening to AOC on Trump 24 or Trump on 24/7. So she was referencing, the Onion, hold on, coffee. I still got the ass thing on my mind. Sorry. AOC and Trump 24/7, listening to them 24/7 would be awfully painful. Yes, absolutely. I agree. It was a parody off The Onion talking about them getting their own television station and running 24/7. Not Trump, but AOC. And yeah, that I couldn't do it either. And she goes on, Leslie goes on to say, I think I'd have to get an ice pick and destroy my eardrums. Life is too short to listen to abysmally stupid. Absolutely. I can't agree with that more. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to have a clip of AOC on here, and I'm reluctant to play it. I'll have to dig through my show notes here to talk about it a little bit, because this absolutely just got my cheese, and was not very happy with well, I'm never happy with AOC, so what else is new, right? Before I get into that, let me finish Leslie's email. She goes on to talk about HOAs, and I bitched about HOAs on last episode, and she goes on to say, I serve on our HOA board of directors. I got drafted because sane people were needed on the board. We have the fiscally reckless and the letter of the law types on the board, and the results are always bad. The annual meeting is the worst because mostly the whiners and complainers attend. I work with people all day, and I hate being bothered by them when I get home. So yeah, absolutely. I've had multitudes of experience with HOAs, and I've talked about this before, and just overall, I can't really complain too much about the HOA here, minus the two incidences, and I say two incidences or two notices with the trailer in the driveway. I get it. But at the same point, when you see other, what I would assume would be violations in the neighborhood, and nothing's really being done about it, it makes you question, you know, What are the enforcement laws? I mean, what are you really nitpicking on? Or is it just personal pet peeves? Or are you really following the letter of the law? And I would rather somebody follow a gray area of the law than to just be right out black and white and pointing every freaking deficiency in your home. And it's like, and if you want to go toe to toe, all right, let me see your house, right? And that's probably why they send letters versus come talk to you, because they know that some people are going to be confrontational, like me. No surprise there. But I would have to challenge it, you know, and people have to understand we work. People work on a daily basis. If our sole purpose on this earth was to move into an HOA community just to simply take care of our home on a daily basis or an hourly basis, we would have nothing else better to do with our pathetic existence in life. I think it's just stupid. Granted, it's nice to have a great house. I'm not dismissing that. But you know, maintaining a home, depending on the size of the home, is a lot of work, and you have to be willing to put that time in. But not everybody has that time where they could dedicate a number of hours to just maintain, on the face of things, the illusion that the house is picture perfect, beautiful, and it's not an eyesore. Again, there are homes within the neighborhood that look really, really awesome and pristine. And what I found is those that look really, really good and pristine, retirees live there. They have nothing else to do but home maintenance. They have a routine. They take care of their house. And I think that's great. If I had that time, I would absolutely freaking do it. Soon, very soon, I will tell you. Speaking of which, on to another subject. Oh, by the way, hot cabana boy with meat. Leslie, thank you for your email. I'm glad that I can make you laugh. I try to be funny. And then she sent me a link to the Fruitcake Lady, if I never saw the episode. I will see if I can get this in the show notes so we could talk about the Fruitcake Lady maybe on the next show. Okay, Leslie, thank you for your email. As always, we love you. Speaking of which, let's talk a little bit more. Over the years, and I guess this is probably an overshare, you know, I don't mind sharing personal experiences that I've had in my life. I mean, this is just me. After being quiet for so many years, the beast inside me just was screaming to get out, not to quote Ronnie James Dio. But yeah, there was an issue last week. So, and when I say soon, I mean my retirement next year. That's what I'm looking forward to. And I can't wait, to be honest with you. My boss on the military side, one of my bosses on the military side, retired last week. Had his retirement ceremony up in Fort Myer, Virginia. Awesome ceremony. If you ever get to see the old guard do a retirement ceremony with precision, I would highly suggest visiting Fort Myer and going in. And I'm not sure if they have retirement ceremonies on a daily basis. I would imagine if that is their sole function, they may have a great deal of them because it seems like people are retiring every day. And it's a mass retirement ceremony. So to put it in perspective, what I've seen growing up in the Army when I first came in as a private, retirements for senior non-commissioned officers and commissioned officers, and I think this is probably branching material at that point, so I'm talking 80s, 90s, there would be a single ceremony that the unit would have, right? And they would have their own retirement ceremony. Everybody had to be in dress uniform. They made a big deal out of it. As the years progressed and, you know, there's a change of mission focus, there came a thing called time. And the units really didn't have time to do these ceremonies for every individual at these different times. It's just a lot of coordination. It takes a lot of meetings to make sure everything's right. And you would think you would have it down to science, but everybody's different. So what wound up happening was that the installation would do, or, you know, when I say installation, for those of you who aren't familiar with Army speak, that means the post. So like Fort Polk, Louisiana would be an installation. So the installation would do a ceremony for anybody who was retiring from that post. And it would be a mass retirement. They would get a commanding general as the officiator of the ceremony to be there, and they would line everybody up, and they'd go through the whole ceremony piece with all the retirees present of various ranks from different units within that installation. And it did. It made it easier. The only thing I found odd was, you know, when you're going to shake the hands of individuals and congratulate them for their retirement, you probably didn't know a great percentage of them, and you're like shaking their hand, and then their family's there. And what do you say? It's kind of like, congratulations on your retirement. You know, and if you're paying attention to individuals, wow, 36 years, congratulations, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you really just don't know what to say to the people you don't know. The people you do know, you talk a little too much, and then you got a line to the left of you, waiting for you to shut the fuck up and move on. So I get it, and it's a good thing to have. I personally am not looking, and to be clear, on the document that we submit for approval, it does give me the option as to whether or not I'm going to have a retirement ceremony. And I am going to elect no. And it's for my own personal reasons. I mean, people say, well, it's not about you. Well, yeah, it is. It is. I gave up 30 years of my life. It is about me, and it's about what I want. I would like to go out very quietly. I would like to just exit stage left and go get my life back, right? I don't want a shindig. I don't want a reception. I don't want to be in my dress uniform when I retire. I would much rather just go to the main building, sign my last document saying you are now released, and then be done. And that's what I intend to do. You know, it's my option. And anybody who tries to force something else different on me, what are they going to do? Make me retire? So, and I get it. It's a great venue. And I know it's contradictory to what I said earlier, but I mean, holy shit. you know, it's for some people like the pomp and circumstance, the flora and fauna. I get it. I'm just not one of those individuals. I like being behind the scenes. I just like to just exit quietly, you know, and move on to other things. And that's just me anyway. But yeah, so talking about, you know, things that rub your cheese. Yeah, it's, so I got into a little bit of a confrontation with a civilian last week on Thursday, during, you know, just before the ceremony was about to kick off. And I think, yeah, I'm really, really ready to just pull the trigger early. I don't have to wait till my 30 years. I could drop my paperwork at any time, but, you know, I wish my dad was here so I could ask him, hey, what do I do? But you know, it's, I don't know. I'll wait and see what happens on Monday. But yeah, I'm just so ready. I'm so ready to, yeah, I know you're waiting. Well, what'd you do, Landon? What'd you do? It wasn't anything serious. I'm not going to broadcast it on here. I'm not going to say I was in the right, but I don't feel necessarily that I was in the wrong either. And I really don't feel like I'm going to apologize for it. I just really don't, you know? And so, yeah. So before I get wrapped up into that, let's move on. I know I mentioned that I was going to talk about AOC. And talk about, some of the things that, my show notes are all mixed up, but that's okay. So yeah, AOC coffee. One second. Or maybe I won't talk about AOC. Maybe I shouldn't talk about AOC. Maybe I should talk about coffee. How about that? Let's do a change of pace. Screw it. Screw AOC. She's stupid. We all know it. Let's talk about coffee. So Media Beans. This is our segment. Granted, I don't have a transition, so I apologize. And I think I like to keep it basic that way for right now. But, last episode, I almost said last week, many weeks ago, last episode we had, talked about, we didn't have a coffee to review, because the coffee didn't come in on time. It didn't come in till later on that evening after we recorded the show. And, we talked about Four Sigmatic and the Four Sigmatic, coffee mix, right? And you can find their coffee at www.foursigmatic, that's foursigmatic.com. Now, we bought two different versions. So we bought ground coffee, which will go into your coffee maker. Of course, our preference is to use Chemex or French press. And what I'm drinking right now is the Four Sigmatic mushroom coffee mix. Oh, not the mix. I'm sorry. Which one am I drinking? It wasn't the coffee mix because the coffee mix is instant. So I'm basically brewed through Chemex. They're a dark roast. And what I wanted to do was rather than me try to explain it to you, hold on. Did not want to burp in your ear. But rather than me explain a lot, because this is a very unique coffee. It's really, really unique. I will tell you the coffee mix, which comes in little packets, is instant coffee. Okay. And I have a thing about instant coffee. Personally, I instant coffee sucks. Okay. I'm not saying that this coffee, Four Sigmatic, the mushroom coffee sucks. I'm just saying I just have a thing. I have a very bad dislike for instant coffee. Growing up, my parents later on. So back in the day, there used to be, I don't know if they make it anymore. I could probably look it up while we're on the show, but Sanka, S-A-N-K-A, was an instant coffee my grandparents used to drink every morning. And that stuff sucks. I don't know what it is about the flavor. I don't know what they do to dehydrate and make coffee instant coffee, but whatever that process is completely sucks. The best part, I will say this, the best part about instant coffee is the froth that it leaves at the very top. But after that initial sip, the rest of it sucks. So I would never really drink instant coffee. And then my parents had Folgers. So being the individual who wants to kind of sample things, I was like, fuck it, I'll try it. So I did Folgers. Same fucking thing. Now, I don't know if Sanka owns Folgers, Folgers owns Sanka, I don't know, but I imagine it's the same process of making instant coffee, right? it's that initial flavor that is okay. That froth that's at the top makes the initial sip taste great. Afterwards, it completely sucks. Now, that being said, the mushroom coffee mix that Four Sigmatic produces is pretty fucking good for instant coffee. I actually like it. There are some notes of the mushroom in the coffee mix. It's definitely a different flavor. And it's on the go. It's very easy. I mean, pretty much just, you know, pour it in a mug, pour hot water into it, mix it, and you're done, ready to go. It doesn't necessarily, that I've paid attention to, it doesn't have that froth like Sanka or Folgers or any instant coffee by Maxwell House or the other coffee companies, okay? It really just, it tastes really good. It tastes like the brewed coffee that we're having right now. And so I'm really inclined to say that for it being instant coffee, it's very, very good. The flavor tones are a little bit different for me. So I'm looking at a 4.5 coffee beans on the mix, but on their dark roast coffee, and maybe I'm being biased. Wow. Okay. Maybe I'm being biased because I like brewing coffee. I don't like instant coffee, but for instant coffee, I'm giving it a 4.5. I think that's fair. You know, I'm not a person who gives a trophy out to everybody, but I think 4.5 is fair for instant coffee. On the brewed coffee, I would say 5 out of 5 coffee beans because we did it with Chemex and it was just the flavors just there and it's very impactful and absolutely love it. Now, what I want to tell you or want to share with you is what is on their website. And excuse me if I'm not pronouncing some of these words correctly. I've never heard these words before or never read over these words before, and I probably should have looked them up to see how you properly enunciate, but we'll talk about the mushroom coffee, the daily warm-up with cordyceps. I'm assuming that's the word, C-O-R-D-Y-C-E-P-S. I want to say cordyceps because I don't think it's cordyceps. But basically, this is what the website reads, okay? And oh, by the way, out of 887 reviews on the coffee mix, it's pretty much a 5-star review, okay? Coffee mix, the boxes come with 10 packets. They're about 7 fluid ounces apiece. So you get a nice, decent coffee mug in there. Nice size coffee. Now, you don't want to make a big cup of coffee, like, you don't want a tanker to put this in. You want something that's a standard 6 to 8 ounce coffee mug when you make this. Anything larger, the coffee's diluted. So we did do that. So I want to let you know. But this is what the website says. In case coffee doesn't pump you up enough, how about coffee paired with one of the most energy supporting mushrooms on the planet, cordyceps? I wonder if that's a mushroom. I have to look that up. Coffee is so energizing because it stimulates the central nervous system and adrenal glands. Combining this with the more balanced cellular energy support of cordyceps mushroom. Oh, okay. So I guess it is. Cordyceps mushroom can result in balanced stimulation while using only half the amount of caffeine normally found in coffee. Now, they've been featured in Times, Forbes, Bon Appetit, Vice, and Well and Good. Achieve with cordyceps and chaga. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this correctly. Chaga. The energizing effects of our Four Sigmatic mushroom coffee and cordyceps are stabilized with our dual extracted chaga mushrooms that also help support your daily immune functions. Aside from supporting energy, stamina, and athletic performance, cordyceps have been studied for their strong antioxidant properties. That's pretty cool, right? So healthy coffee. Imagine that. And this is pretty much, goes on to say, a mushroom coffee to get you fired up. Replace your regular old cup of coffee made with 100% organic Arabica coffee beans, includes immune system supporting chaga mushrooms, tastes just like coffee, not like mushrooms, ready to drink with hot water, enhance your choice of nut milk or natural sweetener, blend in coconut oil or ghee, is it ghee, G-H-E-E, for creamier texture. Drink in mornings or early afternoons before a workout. Sip daily during endurance training. So they give you a wide variety of things to do with the instant coffee. And I would imagine you could do the same thing with their regular coffee grounds for brewing, right? And they sell a number of other products on their website. So again, I would say go to www.forsigmatic.com. That's www.forsigmatic. Goodness gracious, I can't spell. That's forsigmatic.com. They have coffee subscriptions. It seems like that's what everybody's going to these days. A lot of other coffee companies say, hey, subscribe, and they send you coffee like every month, depending on the size of your, well, not depending on the size of your order, but you know, hey, I want this amount for this much per month for until I tell you to stop type thing. So it seems like a lot of coffee companies are jumping on the bandwagon with that. And I think that's pretty cool. So overall, the mix, I would say 4 out of 5, 4.5 coffee beans, and the dark roast brew, which is the one what we bought, for your home brewer, Chemex, French press, whatever. We were giving that 5 coffee beans out of 5. So yeah, I think that's good. I think that's absolutely great. I'm trying to figure out if there's anything else I need to elaborate on. Probably not. Maybe? Yes? No? Thinking. I know. Let's go through some show notes. Let's see if there's anything else I am missing, before I get into it. No. Oh, I know what I could talk about. Just as one little thing here. Hold on. Coffee. And my notes, these other notes. Hold on. Sorry about that. Okay, so I'm back. Anyway, so I was just going through notes and everything. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you. Yeah, one of the things I probably should have led off within the show. So I mentioned on Facebook, and granted, we haven't been communicating a great deal. And once again, I apologize for that. But I wound up recording this show, episode 14, 10 times. And the reason why we didn't release it last weekend was simply because the show sucked. Excuse me. I don't subscribe to releasing a show just to release a show. I really, really don't. If I don't feel it sounds good, if I don't like my tone of voice, if I don't like the energy that's going on in the show, I completely stop. I don't try to continue the process simply because I don't think it's fair. You know, just to be clear, I sounded so bitchy. I mean, it sounded so negative and dark and just totally, it just felt off. So rather than produce and release the show, we felt that we're just like, hey, let's just take a break. Let's recenter ourselves and take a look at this, because, you know, I think our daily lives fuel our mood, right? Things that happen in our daily lives fuel our mood. How we sleep at night, how we wake up out of bed. And I mean, this is not news, but for some reason, the day that we were recording and trying to get the show out in on the books and published, it just wasn't happening, you know, and it really upset me. And I was like, no, I don't want to release it. I don't want to push it out there. I don't want to have that level of negativity on your work way, on your way to work. If you wait till Mondays to listen to this, or even if you listen to it today, if I get it produced and out today, I don't want you to have to go through that, right? I don't want you to go, God dang it, man. What is up with Landon? You know, I don't like that. So therefore, long story short, we just were not satisfied with the way the show was recorded or how it sounded, you know, the tone by which it was recorded. So we just stopped. But anyway, okay. So yeah, I meant to say that in the beginning and kind of lost track of it. But, one thing I did want to talk about, if I could find it, I saw mention of it. You all know, you've heard about this whole Area 51 meme deal. And, I was laughing about it because, and I'm trying to find the information on it. I apologize. So you hear me shuffling paper. Wow. Oh, did we get rid of it? No. Yeah, no, I think we did. Yeah, I think we did. I think we got rid of it. Yeah, I think we got rid of it anyway. So I apologize. Yeah, I was just trying to find this whole, the article that I had on this Area 51 dude. out of California. And yeah, anyway. Okay. Well, you know what? I think we'll just call it. Yeah. I think maybe we should just, got a new dog. Just picked up a new dog, abandoned him. And this just, so yeah, something else to bitch about. Hey, let's have one little thing before we go here. I know I'm getting a little long in the tooth. And to be clear, I'm not reaching just to extend the show. We did talk about this. So I adopted another dog and, his name is Solo. And I got him from somebody that, I work with. And this is where I say people are assholes, right? That, it really sucks that people have this assumption that animals can take care of themselves. Now, in the wild, yes, animals take care of themselves. Domesticated animals, not so much. People, learn the fucking difference, okay? If you get an animal, it is just the same, in my opinion, it's just the same as having a human child, right? In the early stages of development, you have to take care of your child. In the early stages of development of a dog or a cat, well, cats not so much. Cats pretty much have it in their their DNA that they automatically adapt and understand a litter box. I wish I could get dogs to do that, right? Because there have been a number of accidents since we had Solo. So we adopted him. But what the thing that pissed me off was I understand that he was abandoned near a grocery store, and there was a little like hot dog stand or food stand outside the grocery store in the parking lot. And the gentleman that owns the stand, his kids were trying to hide and take care of the dog because they didn't want him running off. They didn't want him, to starve. So they took care of him, but they couldn't take him home. So one of the military people that I work with decided to take him home with him, and with the intention of finding a home for him because they couldn't keep him. And he wound up mentioning it to me and saying, hey, I got this dog, but we can't keep it. And in a way, I kind of felt like he was playing on my emotions and knowing that, I'm a dog lover, that maybe he could unload Solo off on me. And he showed me pictures, and from the first time I saw the photos, I was like, no, this guy's got to come home with me. He can't leave him. But what I was waiting on was his niece was supposed to take him and adopt him, and it was going to be a couple of weeks before they settled into their home. Turns out 2 weeks later, she got flaky, didn't want him, and so I got him. And I would say for a mutt, because that's what he primarily is. Well, actually, he's 50-50. He's really smart, but he's also a pain in the ass. He's very stubborn. And I think I named him appropriately because he's just like Han Solo, just like his namesake. He's just like Han Solo. But I would encourage you that, thinking about this, a lot of people are into breeds, AKC, NKC, what they think is AKC and NKC registered, pay an exorbitant amount of cash for, an animal that is, a Rottweiler, full blood pit bull, Jack Russell, whatever the case may be. Sometimes mutts are the best dogs to have. Just saying. And that being said, I'm going to end the show here. So, thank you for being patient. Thank you for listening to the show. As I said, all of you, really make this show great. And again, we want to make sure that we put out quality content when we can, and hopefully just get off our ass and get you more quality content, in a more timely fashion. Hold on. Wow. Oh, wow. I didn't really see what happened there. Anyway, sorry. Computer went nuts. So that being said, thanks again. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for being patient. No Syntax is a production. Wow. I can't even close the show right. No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at premiumbeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Background music can be found at melodyloops.com. That's www.melodyloops.com. Want to send an email, have comments about today's or other shows? We want to hear from you. That's no bullshit. Email us at nosyntaxpodcast, that's all one word, nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com, or you could post your comments on our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast, again, all one word, nosyntaxpodcast.net. You can also follow me on Twitter at nosyntaxpodcast or Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. Don't forget, we are on iTunes. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Good, bad, indifferent, it doesn't matter. We will still love you. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again soon. Bye.